WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Because of the steps we took, there are about 2 million Americans working right now who would otherwise be unemployed. $200,000 work in construction and clean energy. $300,000 are teachers and other education workers. Tens of thousands are cops, firefighters, correctional officers, first responders.
President Obama from the State of the Union address, and yes, happy birthday, signing of the stimulus bill, which took place a year ago today, and rarely has there been such a disconnect between public perceptions and actual facts. We can debate whether the deficits created by the stimulus borrowing are worth it, a very legitimate debate, but it's hard to argue with the basic fact that it has created and saved lots and lots and lots of jobs. So if we accomplish nothing else on this program in general, we hope to separate the perceptions and politics from the facts whenever possible. And here is a classic case. David Leonhardt, New York Times economics columnist, will help us. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning.
And your front page business section column today begins with a little thought experiment. Want to take us there?
Yeah, absolutely. I asked people to imagine what things might be like today if Congress had passed a stimulus bill that really worked, one that began to take effect pretty quickly and that was big enough to pack some real punch for jobs. And then I argued that essentially the economy would look exactly as it does look, because that's exactly what the stimulus did. It did begin to take effect fairly quickly, and it was quite large. And I said that there are legitimate criticisms to make of the stimulus bill. In fact, I've made some of them in print. But that those criticisms and the sort of mini scandals, like the fact that the government listed some zip codes that don't exist as receiving stimulus money, have gotten attention that is just far out of proportion for their importance. And that the main story here is this has been a huge success. And that's the first point. The second point is that it could have been even better.
What are some of the basic numbers? What is actually known about how many jobs created and saved according to the best economic statistics we can actually pin down?
So as long as we use the word estimates instead of statistics, I think we can answer that question. The fact is that it'll be impossible to ever know, right? Because we can't – this isn't like a police procedural in which we can go and look and see, oh, wait a second, there are fingerprints on this job. We know it came from stimulus. These are all estimates. But the best estimates are actually very consistent. They're all in the range right now of, say, 1.75 million jobs, somewhere between 1.6 and 1.8. And they're rising up to 2.5 million later this year. The Congressional Budget Office, which prefers to deal more in uncertainties, which I actually appreciate, puts more of a range on it. I think it says something more like maybe 1.5 to 3 point something million. But we're talking about a lot of jobs. I mean, we really are talking about a lot of jobs. And to me, the best way actually to see the effect it's had is to disentangle some of the statistics. And there you really can sort of see the impact of the stimulus. I think the best one is if you look at what happened to state and local government spending last spring. By any reasonable measure, that should have been falling. And in fact, it was falling before the spring. But then it picked up for really, it seems like, no reason. State and local taxes were still falling. All the things we're hearing about in places like California, and for that matter, New York, were still happening. And yet state and local spending picked up. And the spring was also the very time that states were finding out how much money they were going to receive, and even beginning to receive money from the stimulus plan. And you can, there are other examples of like that. You can also conduct some nice historical counterfactuals and think about what happened during the Depression. But pretty much no matter how you do it, the stimulus program seems to have had a really significant effect.
And yesterday, to kick off our three-day series on the first anniversary of the stimulus bill, we took calls from listeners who believe they are working today because of the stimulus bill, and we got some very specific stories. One of the bloggers on our new Help Wanted job site at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, says that she just got laid off from a job that had been created. Maybe she's actually working in a job and looking to leave, but specifically a job that had been created, she was told by her boss, with stimulus money. So when Senator Scott Brown gets famous in part for saying the stim has created no jobs, he just has no factual ground to stand on. And before you answer, here is the famous Scott Brown clip.
The last stimulus bill didn't create one new job. And in some states, the money that was actually released hasn't even been used yet.
It didn't create one new job?
That's correct. We lost, another 85,000 jobs again, give or take, last month. And Massachusetts hasn't created one new job. And throughout the country as well, it may have retained some, but hasn't created any new jobs.
So David Leonhardt, he was making the distinction there between jobs created and jobs retained. Is it clear what that ratio is?
It isn't clear, and to some extent I'm not sure it matters, right? I actually think that a job retained is often better than a job created, because if what we're talking about is a trade-off between one job retained versus one lost plus one created, right? They both end up kind of in the same place. You want to avoid people losing their jobs, because it brings huge pain to them, economic pain, emotional pain, all sorts of things. There was a very brief bit in that clip where I think you saw what his reasoning was. He said we lost 85,000 jobs last month. That was a reference to what at the time was the most recent jobs report from the federal government. And so what he was arguing, I think, by implication was the fact that we are still losing jobs means by definition that the stimulus plan couldn't have created any jobs, right? That's the rationale when the reporter in the press conference pushes him on. And so what he's sort of saying is that he doesn't accept any kind of counterfactual. By definition, the fact that we're still losing jobs means that the stimulus bill couldn't have created any jobs. And that's obviously a problematic line of argument.
Well, it's basic logic 101. Just because the net of something goes down doesn't mean a piece of it hasn't gone up.
Right.
What about the debate over whether the $800 billion price tag is worth it when the annual deficit is going way up past $1 trillion this year and we'll be paying back the stimulus borrowing for years to come by any calculation? We know your colleague Paul Krugman thinks slam dunk this is worth it and it should have been bigger. More conservative economists think no way. Where are you on that opinion question? And that one is an opinion question.
Yep. I think it was absolutely worth it. I mean, look, you run deficits really for two reasons. One, when you have recessions, and particularly deep recessions like the kind that come from financial crises, and two, when you're fighting a war. That's why you run deficits. And the relative contribution to our long-term deficit of the stimulus bill is actually quite small. It is nothing compared to Medicare. It is not much compared to Social Security, as well as all of the other programs we have, military programs, social programs, you name it. And so there's a really good argument that, again, if we think about the alternative, no stimulus, a far deeper recession, a recession in which economic activity fell much more than it did and tax collection fell much more than it actually did, that it's not clear the deficit would be that much better off without the stimulus. It's certainly true if we could have snapped our fingers and avoided the financial crisis and the recession and avoided having to pay for the stimulus, that our deficit would be in better shape. But that wasn't one of the options on the table. And so I don't think there's any question that it was worth it. And again, it's not a perfect historical analogy, but it's the best one we've got. Look at the Depression. Do you think after the Hoover administration decided not to be aggressive about the Depression and the Roosevelt administration decided not to be aggressive enough about the Depression, that later on people look back and said, boy, I'm really happy they were so concerned about our long-term deficit back in 1929 and 1930 and 1932. It's hard to imagine, right?
Well, there are some people who argue that all that government spending back then crowded out private sector growth and actually lengthened the recession. They're in a minority, but there are economists and historians who argue that. In fact, let me take a phone call from Aaron in Manhattan, who I think is going to argue with your premise about whether this is worth it in the long term because of the borrowing and its effects on the private sector. Aaron, you're on WNYC. Hello.
What I argue is that this once in a, you know, maybe two, three generation opportunity to have historic stimulus was not well targeted. I mean, and in the end, it's gonna sour people's belief that you can have demand side generation by our government, which you need every, you know, so often, every 5-10 years, because everyone's going to look back at this $900-800 billion, and the estimates are going up in terms of how much will have to be spent in the end, and not see this direct connection of how many millions of jobs. Because remember, we've lost 6 million jobs in this recession. So if we've stunted that by a million or two, which is okay, it's nowhere near enough to shock the demand side, the aggregate demand side of the curve, if everyone, you know, remembers the economics classes. And I think in the end, the biggest mistake is they had months to organize this. They had full control, and this was the best bill they could do with this once every 30 to 50 year stimulus that you can get out. And I think in the end, we're going to look back at this in 5 or 10 or 15 years when we make stimuluses, you know, every so often, and it's going to be a struggle or impossible to get them.
David,
people aren't going to believe it.
Let's get a response. Aaron, that's a really good question. And David, they did kind of use, you know, a big blunt instrument, because they wanted to get it in the pipeline so quickly, but it hasn't been all that well targeted, has it?
I think the visible parts of it, which are actually quite small, haven't been that well targeted. I think the infrastructure spending hasn't happened quickly enough. My favorite example of how it could have been better targeted is it funded capital projects for public transportation, but not operating funds, which strikes me as really wrongheaded, right? I mean, what you want to do is prevent bus and train systems from cutting services, which money can do immediately, not paying for, the new Second Avenue subway. And so it could have been better targeted. But the fact is, a lot of the money got out the door really quickly. I mean, this infrastructure stuff was a pretty small part of it. So by May, you had states, New York, California, Illinois, Florida, getting money for state fiscalization, stabilization. You had the tax cuts going out within a matter of weeks to people. So you really did have a lot of money getting out the door.
As far as targeting, we also had guests yesterday who were concerned with equity in the job market, citing the statistics that I'm sure you've seen, that the increase in unemployment among African Americans is so much higher than among whites recently, but that there wasn't that kind of targeting from the stimulus bill to try to spend the money where the need, where the unemployment spike was greatest.
That's really hard to do. It's really hard to go out and decide you're going to spend stimulus money to target specific groups with jobs. It's hard economically and it's hard politically, right? Because you're dealing with a Congress that all want their own groups to be helped. So I don't wish the stimulus had done more of that kind of targeting. I do wish it had done more of the sort of cash for clunkers targeting. Cash for clunkers wasn't actually part of the official stimulus, but it was part of what Congress and the administration did last year. I wish more of the tax cut money had been specific incentives for people to buy, because the tax cut money they did send out, I think too much of it ended up sitting in people's savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of targeting where you say, look, the only way you get this money, you say to businesses and consumers, the only way you get this money is if you go out and do what we want you to do, which is spend money to keep people employed now. But I just think I don't disagree with the fact that the increase in African American unemployment is deeply alarming and that we should have policies to deal with it. I just think you're going to end up probably tripping yourself up and making the stimulus less effective if you try to set it up in that kind of central planning way.
David Leonhardt, economics columnist from the New York Times, saying The stimulus money worked on the facts. It created lots and lots of jobs, even though you can't get an actual absolute firm number. But one of the listeners posting on our comments page wants to challenge you on that. Because when you said that earlier, he posted, this Bob in Manhattan posted, "Whoa, Brian, estimates rather than solid statistics, state and local spending driving an economic recovery, doubt it, anecdotes rather than hard numbers." And then he posted an article from the Washington Post from last November by Ed O'Keefe. Headline, GAO warns stimulus jobs data could contain inaccuracies. And it says government auditors raise doubts about the number of jobs created or saved by the economic stimulus program, but they also said that mistakes reported in recent weeks signal the benefits of government transparency. So there's some transparency leading them to, you know, raise doubts. And then it says the doubts expressed by Devaney and acting GAO controller General Gene Dorado at Thursday's House Oversight Committee hearing lend nonpartisan credence to general concerns about stimulus data.
So here's another good little thought experiment. Let's imagine that the stimulus bill gave you an extra $100 and you went out and bought something with it, we'll say an item of clothing. And as a result of you doing that, and as well as a lot of other people who got that $100 doing that and buying that same item of clothing, the clothing company, instead of laying off three workers, which is what they would have done without the stimulus, added three workers. How do we know exactly what they would have done without this stimulus? I just said with certainty, without the stimulus, they would have laid off three workers, but we don't actually know that. And so what we see instead is the stimulus money sending money out to people. They spend it. And then we see a clothing company that maybe keeps its employment flat or adds a few workers. There is literally no way to know which of those jobs can be credited to the stimulus. So the notion that we have estimates instead of statistics is not a criticism of the private firms that are doing this. It's just an acknowledgement of reality. There is no way to go and find precisely what jobs can be credited to stimulus. It's an impossible project.
And, but your bottom line, as we run out of time?
The bottom line is that everyone who looked at it and done the best job they can says we're talking about something in the neighborhood of almost 2 million jobs at this point. And I would much rather be in an economy right now in which we had a stimulus that everyone who's looked at it seriously thinks it's had a huge impact than rerun a version of what we and other countries have done in the past, in which we've decided not to stimulate an economy in the wake of a terrible financial crisis. And the historical record of that strategy is just unanimously bad.
David Leonhardt, New York Times economics columnist, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And we will talk later in the program about the specific impact of the stimulus on education in various states. Now, did you see the front page New York Times article on Governor Patterson and his advisor David Johnson today? Is that the big Patterson bombshell that the rest of the New York press corps was breathlessly awaiting last week? It was written by reporters whose names had been mentioned, and it is big on the front page with a large top center photo. But if so, is this all you got, New York Times? One of the reader comments on the Times website today says, "If this is the story that drove the hype for the past few weeks, then this is worse than coal on Christmas." So in a minute, we'll get reaction to that story and more from the New York State Democratic Party Chairman, Jay Jacobs. Stay with us.